I was coming from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When this stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. Say it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride? I sat down in the front seat, turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when I asked him for a light. I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, "Drifter, can you make folks cry when you're playing sign? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? If you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride."
Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. And he's not a special guest, damn it, because it's his house. The doctor is in. Doc Young is joining us today for a very special reason. For those who are unaware, this is, in fact, the 10th anniversary show for Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. And Doc, did you think 10 years ago when this whole thing got started on this crazy ride with you and Les Thatcher that you'd still be doing this 10 years later?
No, I don't know if I thought it would be 10 years. I knew it would be for a while, and I knew with Les on my side that we would make some sort of history, and I think we have done that.
As demanding and a pain in the ass as Doc is, I didn't know if it'd last 10 minutes. But,
And, you know,
those listening to this knew what we've gone through this weekend to get to this point.
Oh, my God.
And you guys don't understand. I'm a busy man getting all my publisher's clearinghouse things in order so I can win $7,000 a week.
And lottery tickets?
Yeah, well, hey. No, seriously, now you want to talk about how things change. I remember my mother entered a publisher's clearinghouse years ago, right? She'd fill out a little card and send it in. That was the end of it. So a couple months ago, I thought, just for the hell of it, because they send the things by email. And so I thought, I get five or six things a day. You know, don't lose your spot. Search here. The clip here. Play, you know? And I'm thinking, this is a full-time job. And I haven't won a damn thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's never the guy with the balloons and the big check.
No. But they'll send, "Les, we have your address." And I thought, Jesus, so does the IRS and the cops and everybody else.
Get out the streamers, guys. Get out the noisemakers. It has been 10 years. I've got a good show for you guys tonight. We're going to look back at
Before we go any farther is how many stalking crushes have you had on different wrestling ladies?
Oh, boy.
In that
oh,
tenure.
My God.
AJ, who else?
Ever since we got here to the Wrestling Observer FOW site, people don't know. They just think I had this huge crush on AJ and Paige, but they don't know when we were at our own site. They don't know the huge love affair between me and Christy Hemme.
Oh, boy.
Total love affair. Before she dumped me and got married.
I want to get on the same medications you're on.
That was a horrible day.
You're smoking. I swear I do.
That was a bad day, Les. You remember the day Christy Hemme got married and broke my heart?
Yeah, I know. You sent out suicide letters and everything. I remember.
I still have that autographed Playboy though, and it's hanging on my wall. But we've got some clips. We're going to look back at some of the fun times and maybe not so fun times over the 10 years. that Wrestling Weekly has been on the air, and this first clip is, well, before we get to the clips, let's do the whole origin of the show, how we got started. I think people would like to hear that. Les, you want to get going on that? And
well, you conned me into telling me I'd get rich. That was how I got involved.
I don't remember.
I was invited to do a show with a guy in Texas. Came on as a guest. Doc was the producer. Then they asked me to come back, on a regular basis and do a couple segments and one thing and another. So anyway, so Doc contacted me and we were, and we talked and he said, well, would you do a show? And I said, well, let's give it a try. And that's kind of how it was 2 hours initially.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. We had a guest every hour. And we also had, a reporter from one of the news sites.
One of the segments we did was Hot Topic. And the guy who now we all owe our riotous high-dollar living to, Brian Alvarez, was actually just, well, I don't know if he was just, they were just had their site, Figure Four, and The Observer, and Brian yep. would come on and do a Hot Topic once in a while, and who would have known that he was going to be a multimillionaire and
yeah.
we would all be shining his shoes and washing his cars and working for huge, huge, huge amounts of money for it. Anyway.
Yeah, Brian's site and our site started just around the same time, and I remember when he emailed us and he was like, would you like to trade links with me? And we're like, sure, why not? So if you look, I don't know if the web archive would have it or not, but it would show the old Wrestling Weekly website. You might find that link somewhere if you go on the internet and see that. But that's neither here nor there. So we did. So we became Wrestling Weekly, and we had a good stack. We did our own news. We had the show. I don't know if you remember Tori Hobson. She did our news, and I remember at the time she was so young. I had to speak with her mother to get permission. for her to work the site, yes.
God, we can make a story out of this too, right? But we won't.
I know. And now she is married and has a degree, and it's crazy.
And she won't deal. She won't do. She won't even talk to you anymore, right?
Oh no, she's still on Facebook and follows Wrestling Weekly.
Cool.
You know.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
awesome.
there's a lot of and Pete from the California.
Pete Doyle.
Yeah, Pete Doyle was he'd come on and do a spot once in a while. Bruce Mitchell from the Torch would come on once in a while.
Yeah.
Mike Mooneyham was on once in a while.
We had some really great shows, really great guests, but then it was in 2008 that. My whole life changed. One day I woke up and my body was just on fire for some reason. Don't know why. And every time I tried to talk, I coughed. Remember, it wasn't so bad. I did lose a lot of weight at first, but I was able to talk normal. I just kept coughing. And then in 2011, right about a year after we started back up again at the Observer, that's when it really kicked in. That's when my mouth got numb, all the health problems started hitting me. I got pneumonia a bunch of times. I died 4 times. It was pretty bad. You know, and now here we are. We got, Les still around and Vic you couldn't ask for a better team, I think.
He just talks about you behind your back, Vic. You know that.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah.
Let's get to the first clip, man. Let's get to the first clip. This is kind of a bittersweet clip, I think, but I thought it was funny because a lot of people, and Les hates this, by the way, he hates being called legendary Les Thatcher. He believes that. He doesn't think he's a legend, but this next clip is going to prove that. Not only do we think that Les is a legend, but so do other.
And a pain in the ass too. You got it. You almost forgot that.
Well, how about a legendary pain in the ass?
Okay. At least I'm a legendary for some legitimate reason.
So Vic, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our first guest of the evening. He is, a legend in WWE and wrestling itself. It's Mr. Percy Pringle III, a.k.a. Paul Bearer. Percy, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Legend, please. I'm just a country boy from Mobile, Alabama. The legend is on the other end. We're talking about Mr. Les Thatcher. Now, that's the true legend right there. I'm not a legend. I'm just plain old Percy Pringle. It's good to be back, guys. I appreciate you having me back.
I'm always going with two legends, my friend.
We were just hanging out here about a month ago down on the Gulf Coast.
Yes, we was, exactly, right here at my wrestling school. In fact, I'm at my wrestling school now. I'm on my cell phone. I'm sitting out in my car outside the school because it's so noisy inside I couldn't do the interview.
Yeah.
But Les came down and he was just playing for a couple hours, but I think he ended up staying about 5 hours. And it was really a good thing. And like I told the kids that come to our school, I've known Les for a lot of years, both professionally and personally, and whether I talk to Les for 5 minutes or whether I talk to him for 3 hours, I always walk away and I always learn something every time I talk to him. So Les is the legend, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so do I. Even if he has to beat it into my head, I'll learn.
Well, I'm sure he can still do that, too.
Yeah.
he's getting too old for that. He's mellowing out his
own. Oh, Lester, please.
Well, Mr. Thatcher, I hope you've learned your lesson. Percy Pringle said, in fact, you are a legend, so you're going to have to live with it and like it. But I'm sure it was a lot of fun to have a chance to sit down and just talk shop with your friend Percy like that.
You know, I wish I had Percy back to argue with, honestly. He was a super guy. Obviously a very talented manager, one of the best, but just knowledgeable about the business, everything. And I used to enjoy hanging with him when we were at Cauliflower Alley or the Mobile thing. When I first got the contract with WWE, he was on the road doing some work for them and he'd stop in occasionally too. But yeah, he's legitimately a legend.
No, I really miss him. I like Percy. He was on my, he had accepted me as a friend on Facebook. And every morning, he would say,
which goes to show how gullible he really was.
Right? but every morning he would post some sort of, like a thank you prayer and say something positive, to start every day. And I would read that and I would enjoy that, and take it into my heart. And, I'm just seeing those.
I know. Let me say right here, for those who have never heard Doc and I go back and forth before, this is, I love him. He's my buddy. He's my partner. We started doing this just playing around 10 years ago, and me picking on him being a straight guy and me picking on him. And people started sending him emails, which he would forward to me and saying, "You let that old bastard talk to you like that." It was a work.
Remember how screwing around. Remember how your wife would be in the background? She's like, "You stop picking on that nice young man."
Yeah. That's true. She didn't even know. I didn't smarten her up either. Well, how smart could she be if she was married to me, right?
Our next clip, oh, this is a real big one. One of my favorites because, number one, it was, one of the guys, my biggest heroes in wrestling. Number two, it happened the day before my birthday. It is, some clips of the big, Bobby Heenan interview. That we did.
You know, but before he played, I mentioned this to Vic the other day. We were talking about the anniversary, and you thought Bobby was just going to be with us a while, and I said, I'll get him to hang. And then he must have stayed, what, an hour?
I left
more.
4 and 5, I think.
Yeah, anyway, then he said, get me out of here. I got to go. But,
and I think it was the last one I seen him do. Like, I don't think I saw anybody else doing with him after that. So it's also the point of, sort of last hurrah also, I think, as far as the interviews go.
Realize my link to him goes back to when he was carrying jackets in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
63 or 64. That's how long I've known him by. This is before he was a manager, before he'd ever been in a wrestling ring. He was just, the ring boy. And that's how he got his foot in the door.
I had no idea he had worked in, my state at all. You know, it was great to learn that. I really loved, that whole interview. We're gonna play some of the best highlights of that.
Is all that stuff up on the Observer Figure Four site in the archives?
No, actually, the archives of our show are at wrestling-weekly.com, or you can go to classicwrestlingweekly.com. You can get all the classic shows from before we joined the Wrestling Observer site. They're all free, absolutely free, just for you guys. So, Vic, run that Bobby Heenan clip. I want to hear that again.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les.
Yes.
We have a very special guest.
We certainly do. You know, we talk about paying your dues in this business, and I have watched tonight's guest go from entry level in 1963 to legend and Hall of Fame status in 2006. He's been a friend for a long time, and God knows he's one of the top managers of all time in this business. Let's give a big Wrestling Weekly welcome to my good friend Bobby Heenan. Bobby, how you doing?
Good, Les. Thank you very much. I think that was nice.
I got you. You know what? We do go back to 63.
Plus his jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you, when I first met you, you were helping Dick around the arena, and you were working at the Ford dealership in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah. I was working for a Ford dealership, and I was carrying jackets and putting out posters and summer programs, selling beer and whatever I get my hands on to sell. As far as I'm here to heal, I learned how to sell.
You know, I was thinking today with you being our guest tonight, and one of the things that's really missing in the business today is characters. And we had a lot of guys back then, like Bruiser and Moose Cholock and Les Ruffin, to entertain us, even if the houses weren't big.
Oh, yeah, we had Frank Hickey, too. And don't forget, we had the greatest heel of all time.
Who? You broke up on me on that one. Doc, are we shorting out somewhere?
No, it's something on his line. We're losing you there, Bobby.
Are we on his cell?
No.
Okay. Are you with us, Bob? Can you hear us all right?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right.
Uh-oh. We may have to take a break and give him a call back there.
Well, I think that's... If Bobby, if you can hear us, we're going to take a real quick break and call you back and try to get a better connection because we've got a bunch of people here wanting to hear...
Can you hear me at all?
Oh, there he is.
Now he's back. Did you go to the bathroom or something and just came...
No, no, my wife didn't pay the bill.
Okay. I'll tell you another guy that I know you were close with, and God, what a tremendous... Ray Stevens was not just a great guy, but a tremendous worker, and hell-bent for election every day of his life, right?
Oh, my God. Ray was the best. He was, you know, the greatest talent in the business was probably Hulk Hogan. But when you talk about matches in the ring, it was Patterson and Stevens. I mean, there was nobody like Ray Stevens. And Ray used to tell me, he married a woman wrestler who was about 10 years older than him.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, do you ever have a problem with her? He said, I have her on her knees twice a week begging. I said, did you hit her? He said, oh, no. She told me to come out from under the bed and fight like a man.
Stretched out for 3 months the fact that a dog might bite him before he gave it to them.
Bobby
Heenan, yes.
What?
I did what?
He's talking about a dog biting you.
When you were feuding with the British Bulldogs and they had Matilda, and they stretched that out. Is that dog going to bite you for about 3 months?
Oh, yeah. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast or when Matilda bit me.
That's the other problem with too many bumps, right?
Too many dogs. Not enough rats.
So there's a story that when you were born, you had red hair.
Yep.
And then
I was operated a month later. I had pyloric stenosis, which is a tumor in your stomach wall.
Ew.
And he either took my hair off and it came back blonde. So, but my beard always was red. Now everything's gray.
Don't have to worry about bleaching anything anymore, right?
I still do it. I don't like to look old. I do, but I mean, I just don't like gray hair. I don't have good looking gray hair. Like, most guys have gray hair that's really white and shiny. Now, mine looks like Aunt B.
It's kind of bluish, huh?
Yeah.
Aunt B.
Most of the people listening to us tonight remember you mostly from WWF.
Right.
But, I mean, you worked a lot of years in AWA, of course, we're talking about where you started for Bruiser and Wilbur, and you worked, you worked around the country. Where are your fondest memories? I mean, never mind where you made the most money, but where did you have the most fun?
The most fun I had was in the AWA, when we were driving in the cars. Let me take that back. The most fun I had was from 1972 until 79. I was living in Indianapolis. I worked there, then I went back to the AWA, but I still lived there, and my mother was still alive. I got married. I had a daughter. All my friends were there. I started making good money. Indianapolis popped. The territory was good. I was home every night. I was with all my friends. That was the most fun I'd ever had in the business.
So you had the best of all the worlds, right? I mean, you had...
Oh, I sure did. And I also had the Kowalski sisters from Sheboygan. But you know what the trouble was? They were Siamese twins, and every 6 months, they had to go back to England so her sister could drive.
That's terrible.
Well, that's right. And then she broke up with me because her sister started fooling around.
Well, he's certainly an original. There's nobody quite like Bobby the Brain Heenan. And before we play that clip, Les, you mentioned that your ties to Bobby go back to when he was just the guy taking the ring jackets and selling Cokes in the Indianapolis territory.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks obviously remember him as Bobby the Brain Heenan Hall of Fame manager. But not a lot of folks, at least modern day, got a chance to see Bobby the Brain Heenan as a wrestler. What did you think of him in the ring?
You know, he wasn't bad. He was just getting his feet wet then. You know, and later on, he did... the normal manager gets involved and enough that we finally put him in trunks and throw him in the ring stuff. He did that with Bockwinkel and Stevens and the Blackjacks and different guys like that. Bobby wasn't a bad worker. But he was, like I say, when I first saw him, he was just getting his feet wet, but he had his heart into it. He was a good guy. I, Satizma, I said, you were working at the Ford garage, Ford dealership when I first met you. Now you own the damn thing. Well, you know, the last time I saw him, you were with me.
Oh, at WrestleCon.
Yeah, WrestleCon, and I didn't even that was so immense. There was so many people I didn't get to see, but I know on our way out, you mentioned to me, Bobby, you know, I said, where's Bobby Heenan? And David was rushing us through there, and I said, I've got to see Bobby before I go anywhere. So I went over and gave him a hug and told him I loved him. And you know, he's gone through a lot, too, to still hang in there and have a great sense of humor and so forth. He's contributed a lot to the business. But, yeah, he was a decent worker. I remember Calvin Pullins, Prince Pullins, who was a competitive bodybuilder and wrestled for Bruiser. And I remember Bobby in the dressing room. This was when he was wrestling. I don't know if he'd remember this or not. But he was nervous because he was working with Pullins. And Calvin had been picking at him. I think Calvin was just teasing, you know, about he was going to stretch him and if he did this or did that and everything. And Bobby, because I noticed, you know, I said something to him about it. I said, you all right? You sick? Oh, you know, Pullins said he's going to do this and do that. I said, oh, Christ, don't worry. But, you know, so I got late before they went to the ring, you know, somewhere in there before they went to the ring. I had Calvin off the side. I said, Calvin, stop it. You got him a nervous wreck. You know, go tell him you're just teasing him, you know, because he was so nervous that, you know, Calvin was going to beat him up or something. I forget what it was, but it was, you know, it was something silly. But anyway, yeah, Bobby has contributed. So, you know, with Vern's passing this past week, Bobby worked at, you know, of course, everybody remembers him in Monsoon and everything, but he had a hell of a run in AWA for umpty-ump number of years, too. So, anyway, another legitimate legend in our business.
One of my favorites. I got to tell you guys, a big contest winner who decoded the message board puzzle was Dan Smith from North Carolina. He wins a Kayfabe Commentaries double pack. He wins You Shoot with Dixie Carter and You Shoot with the Sandman.
And half the Sandman You Shoot was him smoking a cigarette, right?
Oh, no, but no, it's him getting real drunk.
I was going to say, he was drinking a beer, wasn't he?
A beer? No.
Well, yeah, several dozen.
A six pack, maybe. But, yeah,
I was just being facetious because for those who don't know and never saw the old ECW, it's when the Sandman would come to the, you know, one of his buddies could be getting their butts handed to him. And he was going to come help him, but he had to have a cigarette first. And his entrance music, and I mean, it was absurd. It's not the best way to put it.
And he wouldn't get into the ring until the entire song was over.
Yeah. And it was, so if you were his, maybe you were better off not being his friend.
Well, so congratulations to Dan Smith. You're going to get that prize pack real soon. Moving on, one of my favorite tag teams, I guess from the ECW / Monday Night Wars era, was the Dudley Boys, and we had D-Von on the show once, who, you know, guys say D-Von is not good on the mic, and I got to tell you, they're wrong. He just really doesn't want to talk on the mic, and you're going to find that out in this clip. Where D-Von cuts a promo just right off the top of his head and then leads us out of the show with a song of praise that he just makes up right on the spot. Now, at the time, this was a pretty popular interview, and a lot of podcasts tried to copy this. You know, they were booking D-Von, trying to get him to do the exact same things, and he wouldn't do it.
I remember with Billy Gunn, because he, at the time, TNA Rhodey was on with us, there was some idiot doing PR, public relations with TNA who wouldn't let me have Terry Taylor or somebody, or wouldn't let it because, unless they had, I said, Jesus Christ, I've known Terry Taylor along with this and it's been a lot. But anyway, Billy, Doc had approached Billy and said, well, you know, and by this time TNA had said they didn't want him doing stuff. And Billy said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do your show anyway. Just ask me to come back anytime you want. And he did do the, you know, he did the show with us. But, this was one of the times when TNA was so big. I'm not sure what time that was, that you had to be a big national concern before they would allow their people. But from there, we had, Jerry Lynn, we had Billy Gunn, we had Road Dogg. Who else do we have, Doc?
Well, we had Eric Skipper, like, right when he got in there.
Of course, Chris Hemme, but that comes up later.
Yes, it does. Chris, he was there. We have, did we have Gail Kim?
I don't remember if we did or not. I don't remember. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't know.
I didn't mean to sidetrack you. Go ahead and run the Devon clip.
Here's the Devon clip. This is from April 20th, 2006. Here it goes.
Normster in the chat room wants to know if you could please cut a Reverend Devon promo off the cuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah, sure.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
You know, my brother, you know, I sit there and I look at you and I see that you are lost. And the bottom line is I can help you. I can bring forth what you've been missing. So the bottom line is this. You give me a day that day, you give me a dollar today, and I can guarantee you salvation is just right around the corner. Because you see, that dollar turns into $2, and that $2 turns into $3, so forth and so on. You understand what I'm saying. So remember, a dollar is a terrible thing to waste. And if my brother, if you can understand what I'm saying, then give me an old testify.
Awesome. Are you looking for TNA to give you more mic time?
Not really. I mean, you know, my character is based on the Mr. T character, and it was a little bit of the Samuel L. Jackson when I first came in, with a combination of both. But, you know, my character is based along like Mr. T from Rocky III, and I don't mind talking. I don't mind, but a lot of times I just want to concentrate more on the wrestling ordeal instead of the talking. And I know the talking is a big thing, you know, in professional wrestling and this and that. When I feel the need to have to talk, I talk, mm-hmm. you know, but when I don't feel the need to, I won't. You know, I did a lot of it in ECW and then I just toned it down and then, you know, picked it up again in WWE. And then, you know, it was at a point where we didn't get mic time at all. You know,
right.
And during the Reverend Devon gimmick, I was talking all the time and really felt really comfortable with it. But then it just got to the point where I just wanted to concentrate more on the entertainment in terms of the wrestling inside the ring, telling a story and this and that. And, you know, not that I'm, you know, again, gun shy from doing it. I will, you know, eventually I'd probably get back into it. But right now, you know, I kind of doubted myself in a sense when I had been off for so long during the vacation with the WWE. I doubted myself if I still had it or not. So right now I'm just trying to fight it within myself to see, you know, hey, I'm trying to prove to myself that I still have what it takes to get in there and to do, you know, what I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what I'm thinking on now. So I would definitely, definitely wouldn't mind talking a little bit more. But as of right now, it's not my main concern.
Well, one last thing, Devon, and you don't have to do this, but Shockage wants to know if you'll lead us all in a song of praise.
No, because you can't pass the basket, right?
You want me to lead a song of praise?
Yes, lead us out.
Oh, man, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, I'm in TNA, and I am happy. Since I left Vince, oh, what a day.
I wish I had a tambourine to get into this here.
That's excellent. Devon, I want to thank you for being such a great guest.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck at the pay-per-view. Everybody check it out. It's TNA's Lockdown this Sunday, April 23rd.
Hey, man, always a pleasure. Take care. God bless, brother.
Thank you, guys.
A little bit of Devon for you there as part of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, the 10th anniversary show we're in the midst of, just enjoying some of the clips from back in the day with Doc and Les. And Les, I understand that this next clip is actually a good example of someone who is trying to take your spot. That's how it used to be back in the day.
Well, you know, Chico, little devil. we're talking about Brian Alvarez, for those who don't know who Chico is. Anyway, my plane was delayed, or something happened. I was coming back from somewhere on the day we were going to record, and so Doc hustled to get somebody to fill in for me, and it happened to be Brian Alvarez, and they had on Gene Okerlund. So I didn't get to be a part of this. Doc, you can go ahead and fill everybody in.
Me and Gene, another huge hero of mine. One of the reasons I got into broadcasting. This was, another dream interview of mine. And Gene, of course, is just a hilarious guy. The clip speaks for itself. This is from June 13th, 2006. Roll it, Dick.
One last thing. One of the most shocking and memorable moments in wrestling history was the night Hulk Hogan turned heel. Did it shock you that people were so upset that they started to throw things in the ring? Because that hadn't been seen for a while before that.
No, it hadn't, but you have to admit it had a huge impact. I was in the ring at the time with Hogan, and I believe it was Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. I don't know if there was somebody else in there, Randy Savage or whatever the case might have been, but I got nailed right on the bridge of the nose with a half full can of beer.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so in the meantime, when I was holding the microphone talking to Hogan, and he was burying everybody and the fans and the vitamins and the saying the prayers and all that BS. I was bleeding like a stuffed pig.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it did have a very big impact, and I think that whole NWO angle is what turned the tide at WCW. After that, it was a whole new ball game.
Absolutely, it really was. Mean Gene, I know you got to get going. God, I wish you could stay for an hour, 2 hours, but
I'd love to do that, guys. But I've got a half mile to the men's room.
Hopefully, we can have you back again sometime soon. And good luck to you and WWE 24/7. And I hope to see you back on Saturday night's main event.
Well, I hope to be there, and hopefully we can see some of the guys like Heenan, Hogan, Piper, and some of the old timers integated in with the current talent. I think it would be a great idea.
Thank you, Mean Gene. And I got to say that, I feel really bad not doing this interview. You were so articulate, and I feel bad that I'm not wearing a suit while I'm interviewing you.
I'm sitting here naked. You got to remember where I'm at. It's 10 after 9.
That's true.
I'm sitting in my birthday suit. I've got a little glass of very fine Rothschild wine. It's a very nice but very light Bordeaux, not a heavy one. And I've had a great time with you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Gene. We'll
Later.
See you soon.
Work it.
That's the legendary Mean Gene Okerlund, of course, a very close personal, longtime friend of this fine radio program. Another guy who would fall under the maybe he wouldn't fall under the banner of close personal longtime friend of the legend Les Thatcher, but he did appear on the show a few years back, and it's quite an interesting story, which I think we might have told once or twice, but it's worth retelling, especially on the anniversary show. Former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts joined Doc and Les May 2nd, 2006, and hilarity, unintentional hilarity, ensued. Am I right, Les?
Yeah. Well, Justin was just starting with WWE, and you know, you guys talk about maybe, obviously everybody doesn't know who the hell Les Thatcher is, or that he even has a background in this business. At least Justin Roberts didn't. When he came on, it's just, you know, when he hooked, Doc hooked us up, he said, Les and I are on, and I said, hey, Justin. He said, hey, and said, you know, hey to Doc. And what we found out very quickly was he was kayfabing us. He was talking to us like we weren't smart to the business. And of course, Doc isn't. But, no, I'm teasing. But I think what was the most, Doc, you know, of course, I couldn't see him because we were different time zones. But, he was probably sweating bullets thinking the old man's going to go off on this kid just any minute now. But I, believe it or not, I sat on it and I was reserved and I didn't say a word. I just went along like I was the mark. You know, and
I was very proud of you. I was very proud of your professionalism and your restraint when he started doing that. We got to understand, Justin Roberts had just barely taken this job. He was scared to do the interview. He didn't know if he was allowed to do the interview at all. I had to convince him that it was okay in his contract for him to do the interview with us. So he was already scared shitless. But, you know, he started going through the interview fine. He was answering all our questions. You'll see on the clip at what point things start, if you guys all remember the Joey Styles incident where he walks off Raw. That's where things start going south. And just roll clip, Vic. You'll see what we're talking about. This is from May 2nd, 2006.
We got some weirdos in here tonight. Rhode Island Red says, what's the best thing about working for WWE and what's the toughest?
Well, it's hard to choose one thing. There's so many cool things about working for WWE. I mean, it's something that I grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
Something as a group, as a kid watching, and to actually be a part of it, watching guys like Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. I used to be a huge fan of Vince's when he hosted Primetime Wrestling. And now to think that he's my boss, that's just really neat. And I love that the guys can make such a big difference in people's lives. I like sitting there and watching the effect that they have on kids in the front row and kids in the back, just how excited they are when they see their favorite wrestlers and they get to touch them when they're walking down the aisle. And I love that because I'm still a fan. So I sit and watch the shows as a fan, but do my job when I have to.
The main ingredient says, have you ever screwed up anyone's entrance?
Yeah. I know I've been off by a couple of pounds when I first started, but pretty much now all the way to hometowns are locked in my head.
I did.
There's one I could think of offhand, and it was my first and so far only pay-per-view. First match of the first pay-per-view I did, which was Vengeance last year. And I was overseas when Carlito had won the Intercontinental Championship, and I had been so used to announcing Shelton as the Intercontinental Champion that when Carlito walked out, I called him the challenger as he came out holding the belt. So that was... that was my big mistake.
Did anybody notice?
I would think so.
Nobody said nothing about it, though.
I said something when I said that.
Yeah.
I mean, right when I said it, I was standing in the ring, like, I wish I could do something about that right now.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
I haven't met them.
Question for Justin. Would it disturb you to know that there are guys who find you attractive?
Hey, everybody does their own thing. I'm not into that. I'm a very big fan of the females. Very big fan.
Right.
And, you know,
It's flattery.
This is not a gender thing. There's no soliciting on our show, thank you very much.
Yeah, guys, this isn't a date night.
However, if you are an attractive female, I am.
Yeah.
Find me on MySpace.
You can find Justin at room such and such and such at the Holiday Inn.
MySpace.com/announcer.
Blue Jackson says, your thoughts on Joey Styles?
Joey's a great guy. Obviously, saw a different side of Joey last night, and it's kind of disappointing. I'm kind of disappointed to see him go. I like Joey, and he spoke his mind last night, and if he's not happy, then I guess he shouldn't be there. So,
right.
Wish him best of luck and whatever he does.
What a great promo he cut, though. That was awesome.
He spoke his mind.
What's that?
He spoke his mind.
Yeah, he did.
Well, Les, I have to admit, I am impressed, because I thought there was a moment there where you might want to come through the phone. Not that I could hear it, but I just, you know, like Doc, I know you well enough to know that Justin Roberts is a very fortunate man that day.
I'm thinking, you know, I don't use the word jabroni. who is this again? Can I sell you a book on the history of professional wrestling? No.
Yeah.
You know, I never had the opportunity to actually meet the kid. So I would have very nicely mentioned to him that, you know, we went through this whole show with me as the mark and him as the guy who was smart to the business. But anyway.
I'm serious, nothing like that anymore after 9 years. But, he's just
a scared
rookie. There was another time where you had to practice some restraint. One day we were interviewing Christy Hemming. It was after a taping of TNA. She was back in the hotel room drinking sake with her and some of her friends. And one of her friends was Jeremy Borash.
The word is drunk, Doc, is what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. They were inebriated.
Everyone drunk, but you could hear in this clip Jeremy Borash yelling and screaming in the background of this interview, which Les was not happy about this at all when we went off the air.
I'm going to tell you, Vic, before you run, I'm going to tell you the truth is, to show my restraint, I did, honestly. But, I won't tell you what, on the show here, what I said to Doc after we got off the air is why, you know, some sexual innuendos I was saying why he might be screaming and yelling. But anyway. Yeah, they had had not one too many, probably 10 or 12 too many. And, of course, this was the love of Doc Young's life, so she could add 105 too many, and it wouldn't matter. We would have struggled on.
Absolutely. This is the May 30th, 2006 clip. Vic, let's hear the screen test. It's not a horror movie, guys. This is an interview.
And we've got on the line right now our featured guest, guys, from TNA. It's the newest TNA knockout, Christy Hemme, on the program. Christy.
Hello!
Thanks for being with us, Christy.
Thanks for having me.
She's got her own cheering section. I like that.
Yeah.
I know.
She just has these people. She pays them to go everywhere, and every time somebody hears the name Christy, they just go, woo! So you're still down in Orlando, right?
I'm in Orlando. We did the show yesterday for Impact Thursday night, and actually stayed here an extra day to do some interview stuff. And now I'm just kind of hanging out with everybody, and we're having sushi and sake.
Awesome. Sake?
Sake. Sake
wow.
beer.
Oh, wow.
How do you like your new role as, what, hostess, I guess?
Yeah, well, we're just, you know, we're taking it slow and kind of working me in and you know, trying to fit, see where I fit in the show, first of all. I mean, I definitely have aspirations to wrestle and, you know, do more, but for right now, we just kind of want to see where I fit.
When you first wanted to try out for the Diva Search, I mean, this is when, like, you know, there's the commercial on TV and you see it, or you find out about it and you decide that, gee, I'm going to do this. What was your reasoning for that?
Actually, it's kind of funny because I had a couple of people, not only did I see it and I was like, oh my God, that's perfect for me, but I had a couple people come to me and be like, we got to, like, bring you in on this thing because this is perfect for you. I was like, you know, no, it's not just me. You know, it's my personality. It fits, and it's, you know, what I want to do.
And were you interested in wrestling or just being part of the show?
You know, I've been modeling for years and have grown very bored of it. And knew that I had more and more to offer and more that I wanted to do. So I knew going into that, the wrestling and being more part of the show and more part of wrestling was going to be something I'd want to do.
I'm waiting for good questions in the chat room to ask you. Right now, it's just a bunch of marriage proposals and stuff. So I'm, like, actually waiting for good stuff. But Heal 2006.
Tell those guys to send their stock portfolios.
Tell them I marry all of them.
There's only one Christy, fellas. Get in line. But Heal 2006 says, did any wrestlers give you a hard time in the WWE after you won the Diva Search? Like, maybe jealousy over, you know, coming in the easy way, quote unquote.
Yeah, you know, it was the easy way, and I came in a different way than most people. Everybody, you know, I have so much admiration for the way that people wait, and actually, you know, it's like school for them. But for me, I knew what I was getting myself into, and I knew if I could just show them where my heart is, then they would respect me for that, and I think that I did do that.
Darkblade says, did you enjoy doing E3 as a booth babe a few years ago?
You know what? I've done that show for many years.
Really?
And I always had fun doing E3 because I loved walking around looking at all those games and just playing all day. I mean, all I did was dress up as a character in some game and, you know, run around and play video games all day.
Who have you dressed up as?
I was a warrior princess one year with this, like, gold medal outfit on, nothing but, like, just like a bra and a chastity belt. It was awesome. And then another year I was like a what are those, like, little strudel girls?
Mm-hmm.
Like a, I don't remember what they called. I've been all kinds of interesting things.
So is you're into the games and things like that?
Oh, yeah, it's so fun.
Do you have your own systems at home, or?
No, I just do it when I go play,
right.
You know, play this stuff.
VNS says, are you currently training with anybody specific in TNA? I know we know this already.
No, not right now, because I'm just, really, we've got so much stuff to work out. We've been doing all the knockout DVD photo shoots and stuff. So just getting up on the website and getting all that stuff on and really finding my way through the company, you know, we've got a lot to go before we really get to the nitty-gritty of it, you know.
Well, that was definitely something else. And you know that there's a lot of love here between Les Thatcher and Doc Young. And after that clip, not only was Christy Hemme invited back, she wins Female Interview of the Year.
This next clip of Les and I speaking on this, the clip you just heard won Female Interview of the Year with the Wrestling Radio Awards. So, Les, it could not have been that bad. But well,
had it been up to Doc, we'd have had her on every week. There were times he'd call and say, you got any suggestions for guests? And I'd say, he said, how about Christy? I said, she was on last week, Doc. She was just,
It's not the Christy Hemme show. And for me to sit and listen while he salivates over the telephone.
I think I was very professional.
Oh my God, you're so beautiful, and I thought, oh God, I'm.
That was during the commercial break.
I'm getting nauseated here. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, she female interview of the year of all the podcasts, as I recall, right, Doc?
This was all internet wide wrestling podcast at the time. This clip is from January 23rd, 2007. It is a couple of days after the Wrestling Radio Awards for 2006. And this is me rubbing less space in the fact that I know how to pick a female interview of the year. Here goes.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, everybody. It is January 23rd.
Very good, Doc.
Yes, it's the January 23rd episode. Tonight we've got Jerry Oates, the former owner of Great Championship Wrestling out there in Georgia. And, of course, we've got from Wrestling Society X, Lizzie Valentine. You might know her as Valentina from the Indies. Lizzie Valentine's going to be on the show. She's going to tell us a little bit about Wrestling Society X and what kind of things we can expect when the show debuts next
weekend.
Does she
know your history with female guests?
She does not, but she...
Well, thank God.
I'm pretty sure she has a good idea that when there is a female guest on the show, and there's me too... there's a very good chance that you could win Female Interview of the Year.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, Doc.
Congratulations.
You are the man.
You were in that interview, too. Congratulations to you, too, Les.
Well, thank you, sir.
The Wrestling Radio Awards, in case you don't know what we're talking about, were last Thursday, and Wrestling Weekly did win Female Interview of the Year for the May interview that we did with Christy Hemme. We want to thank all of you guys who voted, of course. We were finalists in Interview of the Year with Mean Gene Okerlund, which it was a shame that that was such a great interview, but you weren't there that day, Les.
No, well, see, and that's why
we lost.
So well. No, that's why you did so well.
And also, we were finalists for Show of the Year for 2006. That's a great honor, and we thank you all for voting, and we're going to try to do better this year, so we'll win bigger awards next year.
There you go. What can I say, Doc? You've allowed me to get on your coattails and ride this thing, and it's done well. Thank you.
You're welcome, Les. Very welcome.
No good deed goes unpunished. Christy Hemme wins Female Interview of the Year.
She probably don't even remember. The next day, she probably didn't even remember doing that.
You're probably right. Probably right about that.
From what I heard about sake, if you're drinking sake, two is too many.
Cass Hayashi gave me a bottle when he left WWE to go back to Japan, and it's still sealed. It sits on the cabinet here.
Hey, after the show, man, go find out.
Something to talk about next week. It was a gift from a fine young wrestler, and so I probably will never. I'm not a big drinker anyway, so.
Yeah. Next time you have a guy, Gene, on the show, you're going to have to ask him that. I bet you were saying.
Well, the next to last clip that we're going to share with you on this 10th anniversary edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly is probably, Doc, I would guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the proudest moments you've had as part of putting this show together.
Oh, it was something surprising, something I didn't think was going to happen, especially, 2 years after creating the show. We talked about earlier about Christy winning the Female Interview of the Year, but on 2007, I think it was late January 2008, there was the Wrestling Radio Awards for 2007, and Wrestling Weekly was up for Wrestling Show of the Year. Should we just tell them who won, or should we let them listen?
not wrestling talk show. Not because we weren't in competition with Raw or anybody like that.
It's a wrestling podcast, but actually the title is Show of the Year 2007.
Right.
But that's not what they mean. But whatever. But it's a proud moment, and in it, I thank a lot of people, and I want to re-thank them on this 10th anniversary. So listen close, and you might hear your name all over again. Vic played one of our very most special moments of wrestling.
And, of course, after 10 years, the first mention was free. If you're mentioned in this clip, you will get a bill.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Doc Young, alongside my broadcast partner, wrestling's own Les Thatcher. You're listening to the award-winning Wrestling Weekly. We're award-winning, Les.
I had heard that. Someone else had made me aware of that. Not my broadcast partner, Doc Young.
No.
Did you mention what this show is?
Yeah.
It's an award-winning show, and welcome to the show.
I said,
but in case you've never been here before, it's Wrestling Weekly.
That's what I said. I said, the award-winning Wrestling Weekly.
Did you say Wrestling Weekly?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going deaf. Now, let me ask you this. Since we won Show of the Year, does that mean we're on HD Internet Radio?
Yes. We are going to be coming crystal clear. You will hear everything in the background from now on. You'll hear my cat meowing.
We'll see all the lines in my old ugly face.
It'll be like we're in your living room.
And if Doc has a zit, well, you got to hide those. The girls won't like that at all.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, the Wrestling Radio Awards was Sunday, and Wrestling Weekly was named the 2007 Wrestling Radio Show of the Year. So that was really cool. If you want to catch the whole broadcast, the WRA repeat is Thursday at 11 o'clock on, you can hear the whole broadcast. We're going to play,
Can they get it by going through our website too, or?
No, you'll have to go to exclusively.
What? Okay.
And that's where you can listen to the award show. We're going to play our portion of the show, and a little bit later in the program, we're going
to... Of course, I won't get to hear it.
You won't get to hear it. I'll send it to you, Les. We're going to take you back to Sunday right now at the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we're going to hear the final presentation of the night for Show of the Year, our acceptance speech. And we'll be right back, guys, after this. Don't forget, if you want to catch the entire award show, it's Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern on... You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's the award-winning Dub Dub. We'll be right back.
Well, Trey, we are down to the final presentation of the night. It's the award for the 2007 Show of the Year.
How fitting is it, Adam, that we're the ones up here, the defending champs, asked to hand over the gold?
Now, Trey, don't go losing your smile, as we all know you're Shawn Michaels, but Wrestling News Live went out on top, and now it's time for another show to get a year of bragging rights, just like we did for 2 years.
That's right. Congratulations to whoever wins, and thanks again to everybody for listening tonight. Let's get this rolling. I have a date waiting for me at the Bunny Ranch.
And the finalists for the 2007 Show of the Year are...
Between the Ropes.
Wrestling Observer Live.
Rumble Radio.
Wrestling Weekly.
In Your Head.
The Squared Circle.
And Monday Night Mayhem. And, ladies and gentlemen, the winner is...
Show of the Year. Wrestling Weekly.
So happy to accept this award. It's really an acknowledgement by the wrestling fans that we're doing a good job here at the show and that you're entertained, and that means the world to me. Thanks to all the people who have helped out or bailed us out of a jam during this calendar year. We really couldn't do it without the support of the peers. Thanks to Andy J, who dutifully does our recaps week after week. Ben Kieran, Brian at AudioWrestling.com, who's always there when I'm ripping my hair out over a problem. Ray Van Til, who goes above and beyond for me. All our Hot Topic correspondents who appeared in 2007. Brian Alvarez, Bruce Mitchell, Adam Martin, Irish Pete Doyle, Kevin Kelly, James Gutman, Molly Brown. Thanks to Will Benson, who helps out a lot. Brad Dykens, Kevin Keller for always brainstorming with me. Mark Myshak, Tim Stein, Don Angelo, and all the websites that help us spread the word by printing news about us. All the faithful listeners I see return week after week. And last but not least, a man I'm proud to call my friend and my mentor, Les Thatcher. For without him, there'd be no Wrestling Weekly today, and nobody would have ever heard of me. If I left anyone out, I'm sorry, don't hate me.
Wow, you forgot, and all the millions at home. You know, it's nice to know that a labor of love is appreciated. It's nice to know that, you know, that the fans, you know, really like what we're doing. And all the people that you mentioned, and of course you, Doc, and for everyone that knows that I pick on Doc constantly, it's only because I love him like a brother or a son or a grandson or something like that. I'm not even sure what. But, you know, it is nice to know, you know, that we've been selected for this award, and I'm so proud, you know, that we've done a job that made us worthy of it.
And we're going to give you a great 2008, I promise. It's party time.
Well, Adam, that is it, my friend. That is the conclusion of the 2008 Wrestling Radio Awards.
I'd like to issue a congratulations to everybody that won tonight and everybody that lost. Maybe good luck next year. Although some of these people, they just, I don't know. Some people just don't care if they win these things or not. But I hold these things near and dear to my heart, Trey. We have, what, a couple of these on the mantle back at the C23 studios. So I'm proud of ours.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the work that we've done in the past and the awards that we've won, as should everybody. And you know what? It's really weird that you work so hard all year, you get geared up for this show, and boom, it's over. Time to start fresh, start over. Hopefully we'll see all of you right back here next year. Thanks for having us. For Adam Martin of WrestleView.com, I am the Trey Dog of Wrestling News Live. Maybe we'll see you down the road. Good night, everybody.
One of probably the proudest moment in the history of Wrestling Weekly, winning Show of the Year in 2007. Very, very cool stuff.
But, you know, the sad part about it was in the acceptance speech, I vowed we're going to have a better 2008. The date on that clip, that was January 22nd, 2008. The very next month, is when we had to shut down production. So it's kind of a bittersweet moment for the show, looking back on it. But we did it. We made it up there. And, you know, nobody can take that away from us.
And you're still producing not only this show, but you're producing for the ump number of shows for Brian on the website, and you're into executive producer roles into bad movie. Into great Academy Award winning presentations.
It's somewhere in the middle, Les.
Somewhere in the middle. Okay.
Let's compromise here.
But the point is, and what I want to say, is that Doc is doing all this from either his bed at home, his bed in the rehab center, his bed in the hospital, his bed somewhere. Actually, I think I'm kind of jealous that he can stay in bed all the time. No, seriously, I love you, and I'm just picking. But through all this, through the adversity and the negative stuff, you've hung in there, and you're still there to tell us to get the hell off the air. You ran over an hour. So,
I haven't done that in a while, but I do remember saying that before. That was a while ago.
Vic, he said, you guys were doing 2 hours, and if we run over an hour, Doc has a hissy. I said, well, you got to understand the creative mind.
In reality, you probably said, don't listen to that little asshole.
In reality, I did say that, but I didn't want to say that.
We got one more clip for you that we'd like to play. We had lots of fun doing the show, but in the midst of doing the show, we lost a lot of heroes. Les lost, a lot of good friends during that time. And we just wanted to give a little tribute to just a very, very small sampling of some of the people of yesteryear. So we're going to...
What's the title of the song, by the way, Doctor?
The title of the song is just simply called A Tribute.
Let me say right up front, if I happen to say I excuse me for a moment and step away, you'll please understand that not only did the wrestling profession lose a gifted, talented, tremendous performer today, but I lost a hell of a friend.
Where'd you go?
Fans who appreciate true professional wrestling the way it should be have lost a great talent, and those of us who called Eddie Guerrero a friend have lost a loved one. I mean, he was talented, he was passionate, intense, gifted, and caring.
Sad news happened this week. John Penta, last Wednesday, passed away after a very public and long battle with bladder cancer.
Bam Bam Bigelow passed away a few days ago, and of course the man passed away at age 45, just too early. I mean, he's still a young man.
Mephisto LeFanto died in the ring on Saturday night. The details are still pretty sketchy, but I guess what it comes down to is that he had a heart attack in the ring.
Condolences go out definitely to the family and friends. Sherry Martel.
It seems like we've opened this show almost every damn week.
With a death.
Yes.
Seems like it's been forever, but you ain't gone. It's
did read from apparently an expert on this particular type of murder-suicide is that Chris fit the profile, which was successful, driven, quiet, unassuming, and all that. With everybody. It kind of seems like forever.
I don't know what else to add.
Well,
kind of bums me out.
Well, yeah.
Amazing piece to hear, and when you think about it, it's just not only from the standpoint of how many people we've lost, but Doc, you kind of forget just how many things change over the course of 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 10 years ago, I was a 20s or late 20s something party boy. Didn't get up till 3 in the afternoon.
Whoa.
Les knows all about that. You know what I'm talking about, Les.
10 years ago, I was in my early 60s, just 64 years old, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But you know what? The craziness is the business.
Yes.
When you, and if you're waiting for me to say for the better, you won't hear that from here.
One of the things you may not have known, though, Les, well, I know you know this, but for those who are listening, 10 years ago at the age of 64, Les was that party boy who was sleeping until 3 o'clock every afternoon.
I beg your pardon. I was still getting up early. But, yeah, it's things, things have changed. And I'm blessed to still be hanging around and have my health and Doc, we've had a good time, and
yeah,
I don't know if I'll be around for a 20th anniversary, but if not, you guys can say some nasty things about me, and I won't hear them, so it'd be okay.
Oh, I gotta tell you guys, and spitting the way you're talking about 10 years, how many things changed in 10 years, because when I was picking up clips, and putting the shows together, I, heard, the banter that, you and I had together, Les. And, just to give and take was so freely done, and, I was at the top of my game, and, just to think of, the way I am now, I am not, I guess I am man enough to admit, that putting this together, I cried like a little baby, and I have not cried in over 10 years. I am not the person that is, projected in this 10 year anniversary show. I'm not that person anymore, and I doubt that I ever will be again. And so I wanted to make this announcement that I am leaving Wrestling Weekly for good. I could not have picked anybody better to fill my shoes than Vic. And not only has he done that, but he has surpassed probably anything I've ever done. You two are Wrestling Weekly now. I will, be a listener.
Now you're going to get me to shut up. Shut up. You're going to get me to tear up. And I, I'm an old Irishman that wears his heart on his sleeve. Anyway, no, you'll always be a part of this show, my friend. It'll always be your show.
Yeah, but, like you guys said, things change, And I was never a big fan of the name Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly.
When was the last time I asked you what you were a big fan of, and do I give a hell?
I'm done with podcasts and
you're still gonna work with us, right, behind the scenes?
No. Well, I mean you guys got it in hand. I think this is you guys got a new format down. It's working for you guys. It's my gift to you guys. Wrestling Weekly is now yours. I've had some great fun over the 10 years. But right now, and especially health wise, I am going to be going through in the next few months some of the worst things that a human could probably go through. And I am going to be no help to anybody at the time. So I made a promise to Brian. I would find him some guests still for Wrestling Observer Live. But as far as, Wrestling Weekly, any podcast, some message boards, that's going to be it. But I just wanted to say that to you. It's a decision I didn't come to lightly. Something that I've been thinking on for a long time. And, it's a final decision. But I want to tell you guys, love you, man. And I'm always going to be listening to you. But you guys could finish up the show. I just want to say to all the listeners out there who have supported me and gave me positive messages, I love each and every single one of you. I would send you each a personal email thanking you if I knew any of your real names. But you guys...
If he knew any of your real names, he'd stalk you like he did poor Chrissy Hemme, for Christ's sake.
Right. But
Doc,
you guys,
get your ass off here before I break down and cry. I love you, man.
Oh, you guys, bye.
That, of course, the great Doc Young, and I know he feels a particular way about this, Les, which is why I wasn't going to interrupt him. But here's the bottom line, because I know he's listening to this podcast now after the fact. None of us are as we were 10 years ago, and that's probably for the better, even if it's in ways that we don't really understand at this particular point in time. And the other thing is, just like you make that decision today, may or may not be the way you feel tomorrow or the day after that or the week after that. So I respect it, and I know he's got a lot that he's going to be going through over the next few months, but there's no such thing as a closed door here at Wrestling Weekly. So whenever, should the spirit ever move him again, he knows that he's always back here for his show, because that's what it is, his show, Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly.
You are right, my friend. You are right. Wow. He surprised the hell out of me with that. He did. But, you're right. None of us are the same as we were. And for me, probably a lot of people said, thank God. But, he'll always be a part of this. He'll always be his show. Get us out of here, okay? And let's see if we can hang on for another 10 months, even if not another 10 years.
Well, I think Les Thatcher is, if he's not headed to, some fancy store with his Nick shirt on, he might be going to the gym and getting himself some protein shakes. So Lord knows I don't want to stand in the way of heavy weights being lifted.
My health, yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm headed to the gym, baby.
All right. So for the legend Les Thatcher... And, of course, the legend Doc Young as well, who graced us with his presence today on this very special 10th anniversary edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your week to spend it with us. We'll talk to you again next week.